Is it a moral crime to purchase the work of artists who oppose your core values? Now, he's talking about a certain piece of music here. He says, it's a pleasure to listen to, but the lyrics are an advertisement for altruism and socialism. Is it okay to set certain flaws aside in appreciation for the virtues it does have? And my answer would be, it depends on how obtrusive and vicious the immorality is. For example, suppose a piece of music you love, like opera music, operatic, talk about love and service in a kind of mushy way. You know, it wouldn't be my philosophy, but it's very easy to set aside because it's not a concrete, practical message, and it's so conventional for the time. I can easily set that aside. But suppose it was some of these popular songs which tell you, for instance, kill the police, rape women, etc. That, I think, is so vicious and so offensive. Now, I've never heard the music that goes with that. I've read the lyrics, but I can't imagine you would have a Strauss waltz or anything remotely comparable to that, or even Rock Around the Clock with lyrics like that. And so on that level, I would say, if you take your moral value seriously, that would be so repellent that you couldn't set it aside. Now, there's another consideration here. There was some a favorite operatic composer that Ayn Rand introduced me to, named Emmerich Kallman, who did Viennese operetta in the 20s. And there were some of his that were done much better in Soviet Russia than were done anywhere else. The basic reason being that the Soviets froze the performance and wouldn't allow any changes for currency exchange purposes. And so while all the other countries went modern and ruined these operettas, the Soviets presented them just as they had been. And we loved that music, and we wanted really... Now, the music is a different case because the music didn't have horrible lyrics or anything, but money would have to go to the Soviets. And we talked about it, and her solution was, if you could prove that the inspiration to fight the Soviets that you would get from buying the piece was greater than the support that they would get from your money, it's okay to do it. So we promptly bought a whole bunch of Kallman. I just thought I'd throw that in.
I've heard you tell that story before, and could you distinguish that from pragmatism about, you just, you know, set aside principles and loss and gain?
Well, I distinguish it because there are principles involved. And the principles are, if you have to do something that is going to strengthen the enemy, then you can't do it. I mean, that's true on objectivist philosophy. That's not just pragmatism. Suppose you have two courses of action in a battle. And in one case, if you take it, you will lose 3 soldiers. In another, you will lose 5, other things being equal. Or one case, you will get X at a certain price, and another you will get Y. You choose the one that's most favorable to your side. Weighing alternatives and choosing the most favorable is not per se pragmatism. Pragmatism says there are no principles to guide you. And therefore, when you weigh principles. You weigh honesty, for instance, against robbing a bank. And what are the consequences of one versus the other? That is not the situation.
Well, I was thinking of it in the context of sanctioning evil.
Yes, I understand you. And all I can say is we're talking within a minor framework, but still. I wouldn't say you're wrong if you said that, but I don't think it's mandatory on the fringe. If you're contributing $15 And you're writing, as a result, three more essays that you otherwise wouldn't be able to. And those three essays are harming them infinitely more than, you know, the $15, which is going to go to bureaucracy anyway. So I grant you that's on the fringe. It's an argument.